Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Check out our huge in-stock selection of TruBolt door locks. We have a variety of styles and finishes to suit your needs. TruBolt Door Locks provide homeowners and builders with quality door locks at an affordable price. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey guys, before we get to this week's show, I want to let you know about a special live event we're doing on August 3rd in Nashville, Tennessee called Squatchella. It includes The Confessionals, Blurry Creatures, Ninjas of Butterflies, and Expanded Perspectives. All four shows, one stage, one day for the glorious show called Squatchella. If you want early access to these tickets, you got to be a member to The Confessionals on the website or on the YouTube channel, because on May 8th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are posting how to get those tickets for the members on the website, the TC member app, or in the community section on YouTube for the YouTube members. On May 8th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you will have that early access to those tickets. If you're not a member, tickets go live for the public on Friday. But if you want to ensure you get a seat at Squatchella, you want to be a member to The Confessionals so you can get that early access to those tickets. I hope to see you on August 3rd in Nashville, Tennessee for Squatchella.
Merkle Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast. And spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkle. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want more shows on a weekly basis, all you got to do is go to theconfessionalspodcast.com or the YouTube channel and become a member. You'll get access to the Thursday shows, which are members exclusives, and the Tuesday overtime segments when they're available. If you want that good, good, you know where to go, theconfessionalspodcast.com or the YouTube channel, and you have access to all that good, good. All right, friends, listen, Sasquatch and the Missing Man was a live premiere this past Sunday. It was awesome. It was a great event. Thank you to everybody who showed up and made the event special. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, because it was really, really cool, and I couldn't have done it without you guys being there to watch the film. So thank you very much. If you were not able to attend the live premiere, it's not a big deal. Merkelfilms.com will have that film, Sasquatch and the Missing Man, available on demand very, very soon. So if you didn't attend the live event, it's not a big deal. You can watch that documentary on MerkelFilms.com very, very soon. All right, friends, listen, we have a fantastic show for you today. But before we get to that show, I just got to apologize to all the YouTube viewers for my poor choice in apparel. As I did this interview, I saw myself on camera and I convinced myself it was okay. And afterwards, looking back at the video, it was not okay. And I apologize for the poor choice in apparel that I wore, because it is ugly. But don't let that distract you from this fantastic interview, because we have Bo from the Bump Podcast coming on, and he brought the heaters. He talks about Lilith today and how she was a human woman thousands of years ago who chose to willingly lay down with fallen angels to create this hybrid beings called Nephilim. Now, her spirit is a demonic spirit that rules and reigns today in certain domains. And Bo talks about all this today on the show. He even talks about how maybe the Mothman might have Lilith ties. This was a fantastic conversation. I really hope you guys enjoy it. So let's get to Bo from the Bump Podcast right now. All right, today we have Bo from the Bump Podcast. How are you, Bo?
I'm doing great, Tony. Thanks for having me on, man.
Man, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you let me ramble for the last, what, hour now? I mean, I guess we were having some tech issues.
A little bit.
So, you know, it wasn't total rambling, but I do feel like the last 30 minutes was me just going off, and you're just sitting there, yep, sure, man.
Hey, I love it.
So, listen, man, I got to kind of tell the audience and you how this all kind of came together for me. Actually, to be honest with you, this recording, I don't remember how it came together. I think we were talking on a DM somewhere. But I have, over the years, heard people constantly talk about Lilith. And, you know, your friend, my good friend, Ward, talks about Lilith. And Ward talks about things in a way that I don't completely understand always, like, because he says things I'm like, dude, stop talking to me like you're like it's a textbook, you know? Like, he's too smart. Yeah. Like, he's too freaking smart. But he talks about it a lot, and I hear people talk about it, and then, you know, the algorithm learns you, and so my YouTube algorithm is like constantly inundating me with like Nephilim talk, demonic things, like, just, you know, here's, you know, the 10 things you didn't know about Goliath, you know, it's just like, Right. Come on. But I always see videos pop up about Lilith. It's in the title, Lilith, Lilith, Lilith. And it's funny, when I've clicked these videos, I always, at the end of the video, feel like I didn't learn anything. And I think it's funny. It has to be an actual skill set for some people to lure you into something, to actually not actually tell you anything. And some of these YouTube videos, that's how I feel. I'm like, well, I didn't learn anything. Like I still don't know what Lilith is, you know? And so I'm giving you a setup here to hopefully not disappoint me. But
I will try my best not to, man. I have 6 pages of notes that I've written for this, because it is a topic that's really near and, now I don't want to say near and dear to my heart, but it's something that I have dealt with and studied, because just like I tell the church, like, first step of spiritual warfare, if you look at it like it's really on the battlefield, or if you're a coach and you're playing football or whatever, right? You got this team. First thing you want to do is learn your enemy, right? You want to know what they're up to, know everything you can about them. You want to have their information. And that's what I've started doing with Lilith. And it's a dark history, but it's very real, and it's very current to what's going on today. and hopefully to keep it fun and not just like me sitting here face down reading notes, I'm going to be able to connect Lilith with some modern day cryptids and kind of expose this darkness and hopefully not ruin cryptids for everybody, you know.
I got you. Well, ruin away. Okay. But no, I do want to say this before we launch into this. I have, you know, you and I, we share a lot of mutual contacts, and just with talking with people, and even I was just telling you, I was talking to Justin from Appalachia Intelligence on the way over here, and everybody that I talk to, it seems like your name comes up when it comes to Lilith. And so, it doesn't seem like they're saying that you're this Lilith genius, but you've just done that research. You have spent the time studying this whole thing. And if you want to know about Lilith, Bo's the guy to talk to. And so I find it interesting because, years ago, you and I were just talking about how you were on the podcast before. And I believe our conversation back then was probably about Bigfoot. Yeah. And it's like this is a whole different bow, and
yeah,
and I love it. So let's get into it, man. Where do we even start with this topic of Lilith? I know that I think Lilith was mentioned in the Bible like once, but I know there's a whole history of Lilith outside the Bible, right?
Yeah. She's in the Bible a couple times, and I'll get to there. And this is going to be like text heavy, okay? So I'm gonna be reading a little bit because I spent the last 2 days writing this up. We can assume, especially with your audience, that everybody should be kind of familiar with the Nephilim, right? Genesis 6.
Yeah.
We can probably skip past most of that, right?
I mean, sure, if you want.
Okay. So we know that the Fallen or the Watchers or whatever, they took wives and they spawned the Nephilim. So nobody talks about who were the wives, you know, who were these women, right? Where are they now? Or what happened to them. And I was searching online for clues about all this stuff. And I found a list of names. And you know how the internet is. It could be a lie. But it said it came from the Zohar. All right. Now, the Zohar is an old Jewish manuscript that's like the basis of the Kabbalah. So it's like Jewish mysticism. But it gives these four women. It gives these four names. And one I recognized right away was Lilith. Okay. So it listed her as one of these women that the Fallen took as a wife. Along with Lilith were three other women. It was, and I'm probably going to butcher these because they're like Mesopotamian names or whatever. Agrit Bat Malat is the name of another one. Nama is the third. And the fourth one is Isheth Zenunum. All right. Now, I know that the Zohar isn't canon, right? It's not our Bible. So what I do with most stuff that I study, I try to put it up against scripture and see if it stands, right? As of now, I don't have any information about this Agrit or Isheth, but I did find Nama in there along with Lilith. And, it's something interesting that I haven't heard mentioned anywhere else. I brought it up to Dr. Judd Burton a couple of weeks ago. And he's like, okay, sounds plausible linguistically. You know, he's way too smart for me, but this is just what I came up with. All right, this is what I found. In the Bible, you know, in Genesis, there are like lists of names, like genealogy. It's a part that everybody like kind of skims over. We kind of skip it. You know what I mean? When we're reading it, we're trying to just hurry through.
Absolutely.
Well, when you're reading it, you usually get the list of the sons. This one begot this one and that and that. You don't hardly see the women. You don't see the sister of or the daughter. Well, in Genesis 4:22, the name Nama shows up. And it's the same spelling as the one that I saw in the list on the Zohar. And I knew the name was familiar, so I started looking at her family. When you look at it, you got to back up to Genesis 4:17. And it tells you that Cain, like Cain and Abel, Cain had Enoch. And it's not the same Enoch of the book of Enoch, okay? It's the other Enoch. And he had a son named Irad. And it went on, et cetera, until fifth generation after Enoch, which would be seven from Cain, okay? We find Lamech. Lamech was a really bad guy. He said that if Cain was cursed sevenfold, he should be killed. He should be cursed like 70 times sevenfold or something like that because he had killed a man also. Well, Lamech took two wives, which that's, I think that's the first time they mentioned that too in the Bible. One wife was Ada and the other was Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. You'll recognize some of these names, Tony, because I know you're familiar with the Bible. You'll recognize these names. One was Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. Okay, so he learned these crafts. His brothers were Jubal, and he was the father of all who play the lyre and the pipe. So he had music. And Lamech's other wife, Zillah, she gave birth to Tubal-Cain. And Tubal-Cain is the one that learned how to do blacksmithing and weaponry. Okay, so he learned how to forge with bronze and iron. And it says there, the sister of Tubal-Cain is Naamah. So it says these guys are the father of this, father of this, father of this, and then their sister is Naamah. So what made her stand out? Why they mentioned her? Well, according to the Zohar, she was the wife of one of the fallen. And if you look in Enoch, they were taken wives, right? And Enoch explains more in depth as to what the fallen were and the Nephilim were and all this stuff. And it explains in Enoch chapter 6, 7, and 8 that the watchers were taking wives and they exchanged technology and arts and the hidden mystery of all this stuff in exchange for these women. So in particular, there's one called Azazel. Okay. So it says there that Azazel taught forging, just like Tubal-Cain learned. And he taught, he knew the arts. Now, I found it interesting that Naamah was mentioned in the Bible as being the sister of the ones who had all this technology, all this information. And she's also in the Zohar listed as one of the queens of demons, is what they're referred to as. So they're the father of all this tech. She's the wife of one of the fallen who gave the tech to her family in exchange for her. And if they're the father of this technology, she's the mother of demons, right? Of the Nephilim. So I thought that was really fascinating how you find the context clue in the Bible, you know, that Naamah's mentioned, her family has been given all this, this secrets, this technology, and that she's in the list of the Zohar. So that, for me, that gave me a little nod that the Zohar list of these women might be pretty legit, right? It kind of checked out on scripture. So I gave credibility for it. Now on to Lilith. Okay. I wanted to mention Naamah so you didn't think like, where'd he get these people's names from? It is scriptural. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Lilith, we all know that she's in like video games now. She's on TV shows.
Can you describe that though? Before you go any further, you just brought up, we all know she's in video games and TV shows. What video games, what TV shows? Because I don't play video games and I don't watch TV shows a whole lot, but I did see things like, I think it was recently Amazon, I think, is coming out with a cartoon that had like some kind of girl that was raised by, I think, Lilith in hell. And like basically like the devil was the good guy. He was misunderstood kind of thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Am I correct in remembering that right?
Yeah. It's like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Right. And Lilith is the mother. It has a thing. In this, Lilith is the wife of Samael. Samael is one of the chief watchers, who is also Satan, basically. But yeah, she's in, I don't play video games either, Tony, but my students were talking about how this Lilith character is in this video game. I want to call it Fable, maybe. I'm not sure. I could be very wrong. But she's kind of a pop culture thing here. In Appalachia, I know kids at the school know about Lilith. They look at her as some kind of like feminist figure. My daughter, not trying to put too much out there. If people that listen to my show already know, I went pretty deep into my own personal life about this. My daughter, actually wound up getting very interested. And I don't know how, other than maybe the internet. My daughter that lived with me for 4 years got very interested in Lilith and actually tried to summon her.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. In this room, a few years ago. And okay, I'll go there. she did. And my daughter had some things go on in her past. That's how I wound up getting custody of her, right? She came to live with me. And so she dealt with a few things. But once she did this, she's dealing with a lot of mental health diagnoses. Borderline personality disorders, narcissistic disorders, just these compound things that are just way too heavy for a teenage kid to have to deal with. And it just seemed like this downward spiral started to the point where it completely pulled her away. I started finding, this is so dark, man, but I started finding stuff written in other languages. I found curses written in her room. Sigils, and it all happened after this Lilith incident. So I started studying who is Lilith. That's why I started finding out that she's everywhere, man. Everywhere. Like, you see these images of t-shirts with a moon on it, and like two crescent moons beside it. That's a symbol for Lilith. Owls, how common owls are. It's like every little knick-knack you see out there. That's a symbol for Lilith. It's just, she's so ingrained, dude. And it makes you sound like a crazy man, unless, you know, you come up down, I come down the hallway, my wife came down the hallway here. And standing in front of this door was this big black, just a big black figure. So dark. Like, my wife reached out to grab it because she thought somebody was in her house and her arm went through it. A lot of darkness came in here after that. And so I've got every house, every window in my house, you know, I've anointed with oil, every door. I went on my roof, the roof of my house, looking for, you know, anything. Spiritual warfare is so real, Tony. It's like, it's hard to believe how far it goes unless you live in it. And that was a big part of having to live in it, seeing what happened with that, to the point where she didn't see what was wrong with Satanism. She didn't see why that was a bad thing and wanted to leave. She's 18. What am I supposed to do? She had plans. She was moving out. She's packing bags. She had notes. She had escape plans, quote unquote. I thought she was going to run away with nowhere to go. She had nothing. But she had a family member on her side she wanted to go to. So when she was 18, I went ahead and let her go. I'd rather her do that than be homeless. Excuse me. And that was pretty much where we were left. But I said all of that to explain to you why I took this so seriously.
Yeah, now I understand.
I hate Lilith. I hate the devil. And I feel like they took that from me. So I've honestly dedicated my life. I mean, I'm a teacher by day, but by evening and night, I have dedicated my life to taking children from them. That's all I want to do, is help save souls for the kingdom of God and just be a nuisance to the devil. That's all I want. And that's what I pray for, and that's why I've dedicated everything to, man. So if I get a little preachy, I'm sorry.
You're good.
But things get real serious. Things get real serious when you have to live with it every day, man. So, Lilith. For those that aren't really familiar, those that just take what we're fed, I don't know if you've heard it or not. I'm sure you have, that Lilith was the first wife of Adam, right? Have you heard that? That she refused to submit to him, as, you know, his partner or whatever. She wanted to be the lead. She refused to submit, in their intimate relationships. And so she flew away. And what a powerful, feminist figure, right? She just rebelled, took off. That's a lie. Digging through this, if you look at the Talmud and these old texts, you'll see that she's introduced several times. I'm talking like 500 AD. She's talked about several times, and they don't mention Adam at all. Okay, so we know that that's a falsehood. And in fact, when I looked it up to see where that came from, the story of Lilith being the wife of Adam wasn't a thing until like the 10th century, around 1000 AD. They bring out the alphabet of Ben Sira, and it's in like Article 78 of the alphabet of Ben Sira. It's saying, and it was written in a Muslim country, that Lilith was the first wife of Adam. Now, we know that she exists because she's in the Bible. And I'll, like we said a second ago, we'll talk about that here in a minute. But looking at the list of those four names, we can see that she was obviously the wife of a son of God, right? That's another name for these watchers, the fallen, the sons of God. But not the first human, which was Adam. So she was the wife of a son of God. I'll give him that. But what's the devil do? He deceives, right? So they just take that little twist. They give you a partial truth. They try to claim it as Adam, but it was not Adam. She was used by the fallen to spawn these giants who corrupted the earth. And according to the Zohar, again, it was Samael who took her as his wife, and he was the chief watcher.
All right, can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
And you might have covered this, but I'm the dots aren't connecting yet. Lilith,
mm-hmm.
being one of these four wives of watchers,
mm-hmm.
was she at that time, was Lilith a human woman?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I just wanted to make sure, because I know people talk about Lilith being a demon and all this other stuff. So, like, you know, how do we get from human to demon? Maybe we'll get there today.
Well, we're going to get.
Okay.
It's even supported in two or three different ways. Okay. But she was a human woman. Nama, Agrit, Aisheth. These are human women who were chosen by these fallen. I would imagine in that day for the fallen to be revered as gods, right? They had all the technology. They were big. They were perfect looking. If somebody said, let me have your daughter, in that day, who wouldn't offer their daughter up, right? Or their sister up especially to get this technology. So I can see Tubal-Cain and Jabal and Jubal saying, yeah, that's my sister. What an honor. And now we get this technology, right? And like I kind of got ahead of myself. Lilith is referenced several times in the Babylonian Talmud around 500 BC, but she's not mentioned as Adam's first love. By that point, she's already an evil spirit. Okay. So when she's mentioned there, she's already an evil spirit. They refer to her as the strangler of babies. They talk about her being a succubus. A vampire. which ties into the whole ancient bloodlines, you know, the whole battle of bloodlines thing. It ties in perfectly with that. She was warded off in that day. They used they would use talismans sometimes, and they would use incantation bowls or prayer bowls, and they would write scripture. They would use parts of Psalm 91, actually. They would inscribe it in these bowls and use them in ceremonies as part of a divorce formula, because as a succubus, she would come at night and harass men, right? This seductive, seductress kind of spirit. She was the one that was given credit to babies being stillborn or babies dying at an infancy. They credited it to Lilith. So they would write up these incantations to repel her, or they would put amulets on babies, or they put them in their cribs that would ward her off. In fact, in Psalm 91, if you look at this is something else I'd love to talk about, Psalm 91. I did a whole show on it. Let me see. It was season 5, episode 4. I had Vicky Joy Anderson on the show, and
I'm recording with her next Monday.
Are you seriously?
Yeah.
Dude, I love her. One of my favorite people on earth. She and I sat down for like an hour and a half and just broke down verse by verse Psalm 91. Talk about a wealth of knowledge. That woman is it. Like, she is awesome. But Psalm 91, verse 5 says, "You will not be afraid of the terror by night." Terror by night is the name of a demon. Okay. Yep. Terror by night translates to Lilu or Lilitu. It's called the night monster in Hebrew. All right. So this prayer is literally defending you against Lilith. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Come on.
I recently had a situation, and Ward, now it makes, see, this is making sense. Ward literally told me basically to read Psalm 91 as a prayer. And that's probably why. Now, dude, I understand. He probably said it, but in the Ward way that I didn't totally, he speaks on a higher level than I understand half the time. Wow. Yeah, okay.
Let me take 20 seconds for that.
Please.
Yes, please read Psalm 91. It's a very powerful prayer. It's used in exorcism rituals. Psalm 91, stitch it to your heart. Read it, learn it. Learn it in first person. Okay? Say, it starts off with, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." And it says, "I will say to the Lord." Well, by that point, in verse 1, you're already talking about a covenant that's been made. All right? Because you dwell in the shelter of the Most High. In order to come into somebody's home, you have to come into agreement with them. So you're in covenant with the Lord right there. So Psalm 91 is putting you in covenant with the Lord. And it tells you, I think it's seven or eight different covenants that God is promising. His word, like at the end, it's the word of God. It's no longer David who wrote this. It's the word of God for the last few verses. And it's all his promises to those who draw near to him. It's a very important prayer. Learn it in first person. Instead of "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High," just when you pray, "I dwell in the shelter of the Most High. I abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Claim it. Claim it. Protect it. Speak it over your family. I have said this prayer. It's part of my nightly routine for years. I say it in first person so much that I screw it up if I try to say it like how it's written. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's super important. It'll change your life, especially after we talk about this stuff. Pray it.
What do you mean by that? Are you saying that you think that there'll be a target on my back?
Yep. I'm not trying to curse anybody or say anything. No. I can almost assure you, you'll get some kind of confirmation about this. It's just what happens, man. It's so it might just be me. I hope not. You know, I'm not trying to claim anything bad, but it's so prevalent in my life, Tony, that last night we have church, we have our midweek service on Thursdays. It's so prevalent in my life that when I pulled up to the church, I got out of the truck, the pastor's coming to greet me, and owls start popping off. And not just like one, I'm talking two or three owls start going off hooting. And he brought it up. He said, "Bo, you come up here." He said, "As soon as you get out of the truck, you got the owls going." He said, "I wonder what's going on." Cause I've already talked to him about this stuff. And I said, "Well, you know what this is, you know?" And that's exactly what it's like. Most people that aren't aware, if you've noticed an owl hooting, it's like, "Oh wow, there's an owl. How cool." But no, these are just familiars, basically. It's a long story. Ward can fill you in on some of that too, I guess. There's stuff, man.
Let me tell you, the owl thing has been something that I've been not understanding why I'm looking at it so much, but it's just things come across my path and it's always timely. I just firmly believe that God just guides my steps. Like, it's just, I've been doing it for 7 years now, and everything that I can't tell you why I do certain things half the time. It's just, I just do it out of like curiosity, interest. And then the hindsight always says, "Oh, God was behind that." And like recently the owl thing has just been coming up and coming up. In fact, next Tuesday's show, I have a guy, Mike Cleland on, and he's like the owl guy. He's not a Christian or anything, but like I was like, "Hey, you know, you seem to be by all DuckDuckGo searches, the owl guy. Talk to me about owls." And, you know, he did. But there is this thing about owls, and I brought it up with him, and I'll bring it up with you. And Ward was there to witness this. We on our last journey and adventure that we documented, it'll be a film probably late 2024, early 2025. We had the most dramatic experience we ever had as a group together out in the woods. In fact, any of us ever had in our lives. And Ward wasn't present at the location when this happened to me and Joel. But just a very long story short, we were charged 100%. We caught it on camera, and I pulled my gun out, everything. And after that happened, like all the woods were completely quiet beforehand, and not quiet as in like you don't hear a thing. We heard like bugs and stuff, but you weren't hearing anything else. It was just a quiet night. That happened, and about 20 seconds later, we hear this loud yell behind us. It's, and then right after that, we started hearing these monkeys popping off like crazy. Like I grabbed the camera, like, "It's time to go. We need to get back to the guys. More numbers." I was scared, man. I've never experienced that in my life. But the reason why I'm saying this is we get back, we review the footage. We're very happy. We got a lot of it on camera. Fantastic. But you hear Joel radioing to Ward, because Ward hears this. My brother and Ward are back at base camp, and they hear this whole thing. They hear everything that happened. And they thought we were clowning. And I'm like, "We ain't clowning, bro." And you hear Joel say, "There's freaking monkeys going off," or something like that. He said something like that. And on the recording, I hear owls. And I'm like, it didn't sound like that in person. It sounded like freaking monkeys. But I know that I think barred owls sound like monkeys at times and things like that. But it was definitely owls on the recording. Yeah. And so like, I don't know, Lilith in the woods here in Tennessee. Yeah.
Well, I cannot wait to get through the rest of this. There's so much, and it's like,
go before I take over and do something stupid.
No, it's going to tie it in together for you, and it's going to be like, "What?" Okay. So she referred to as the night monster, the Lilitu, Psalm 91, verse 5. To just further clear out the whole first wife of Adam crap, she's found in the same role as this strangler of babies, succubus, vampire, evil spirit, all across Sumerian, Babylonian, Akkadian, every culture of that day. No mention of Adam. Okay. They came up with that 1,000 years ago. And you will find Lilith in Isaiah 34, verse 14. It says, the desert creatures, and people might be King James only. I'm not. I read New American Standard. That's just kind of where I've fallen. It's a pretty literal translation. It takes care of a lot of the guesswork for me. I get lost on the thee, thou, those, and thuses. So when I quote it, it's going to be NASB 1995. But it says, the desert creatures will meet with the wolves. The hairy goat will also cry out to its kind. Yes, the night monster will settle there and will find herself a resting place. It calls everything else it. It's kind. And this will be there. It is there. But for the night monster, again, it says she. And night monster, again, if you look this up in the Septuagint, which is a Greek or Hebrew, the original, that version of the Old Testament. I'll tell you what that says here in a second. But she's with the hairy goats or the hairy ones, some translations say, satyrs or other hairy creatures. And we'll get into that in a second too. But satyrs, these are these goat demons, right? So that kind of lends into Pan and all of that. But the Septuagint refers to Lilith as a siren in Isaiah 34:13, which is interesting when you look at 1 Enoch 19:2. So what this is doing, Tony, is tying in our Bible, okay, with the translation of the Septuagint and the Zohar and the Book of Enoch. All of this is giving the same information, okay? So this is like cross-referencing. Everything's making sense. It's all linking up. Because if you go to 1 Enoch 19:2, it says, and also the women of the messengers who went astray, the angels that went astray, will become sirens. So once they are used and spawn the Nephilim, their curse is that they become sirens. and sirens even tie in with the Hellenistic version, like the old Greek version of the, or the Roman version, sorry, of the same entity, Lilith, as Obazoth or Abizu, which means by the sea. So all cultures depict her as having a woman's head and torso, but wings and talons for feet. Okay? So it's half woman, half bird. It's a siren. And today, like I said, she's worshipped, she's deified in many ways as a goddess. She's highly revered in witchcraft. And if you're ready to get really weird, from here out is 100% bow speculation on things, man. You want to do that?
I love it. Let's go.
Okay. This is weird. I might lose everybody that's like, yeah, he's telling me about Lilith. I might lose every single person right now.
Well, you gave us like a solid 40 minutes. So we're
okay. Yeah. If you don't want to hear something stupid, you might want to turn it off. Okay. I speculate, and this is just speculation, that the king of demons is locked up in Tartarus, right? Stemael. Because these chief watchers, we know they're locked up. They're chained up, shackled until who knows when. So that would put the queen kind of in position to possibly be a principality of sorts, right? Because for whatever reason, God put these principalities in place. In Psalm 82, you see that he tells them, you know, I trusted you to take care of this, to take care of the people. They cry out and you torture them. You will die like men. He's talking to these principalities. Prince of Persia was a principality. The Archangel Michael, he's a principality over Israel. You see that in Daniel. I'm going to talk about Daniel here in a second, too. But so that could put Lilith as his partner, and now this evil demonic spirit over hordes of demons, because she's the mother of the Nephilim. The Nephilim, when they died, I don't know if that's been explained too many times on your show, but when the Nephilim were killed, if it was the flood or if it was Joshua and Caleb wiping out the tribes, when these Nephilim die, according to the book of Enoch, their spirits are trapped here on earth. They can't go above because they're not angels. They can't go below to Sheol because they're not human. So they're stuck here on earth. And all they want is to re-inhabit a body. Okay, so they are these evil, demonic spirits. There's no redemption. They're here to just plague people, to afflict us, to cause us harm. That's the origin story of demons, in case anybody didn't know that already.
Well, so, and just on that, I don't want to steer off the topic where you're going, but yeah. I know the other side of that is that people will say, no, fallen angels, the ones that rebel became demons. And that has been a very default position of the Western church for a very long time, all my life. The problem with that is it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible, as far as I know, but we do have a text describing where demons come from, and that is in Enoch. And we do also have writers of the Bible quoting Enoch, so we know they used it as a like a commentary source. And so we have this line of understanding that where demons can come from, but it's not the fallen angels.
No, it's not. And if you look at the Bible, Tony, you know, from the Nephilim from Gen 6 on through the Old Testament, what are we doing? We're weeding out the Nephilim bloodlines, right? They're going in here, they're killing these giant tribes. God just doesn't have a thing against tall people. God is wiping out what shouldn't have been there. So he's charging people to go in and eradicate these bloodlines. All right. Now, when they die, like I said, their souls are trapped here on earth. The New Testament, what's going on all throughout? Jesus is casting out demons. He's casting out those evil spirits. It's the same bad guy from Genesis until the end. It's the same bad guys that's being fought and cast out. It just makes sense. It just ties in. It makes it so streamlined. It makes so much more sense that way. So she's the commander of all these disembodied spirits. They're all her Nephilim offspring. And I think that this is my speculation, and maybe it's because I live here and I'm surrounded by it. But it's possible that the cryptid that we call Mothman is in fact the same Lilith entity. The physical description matches pretty spot on. The half bird, half person kind of body. Okay. The Silver Bridge disaster over the Ohio River, it was 1967, I believe, it sent about 40 people to a watery grave, just like a siren would want. And this figure, this Mothman, if we look at what we've done, we've idolized and deified this figure. There's Mothman festivals where there's 10,000 plus people show up to the small town. They kind of just flood it. There's people paying tribute to it. There's a museum dedicated to it. There's even a statue where people leave gifts and offerings. They're bringing food to this thing at this point. And if that's her, I don't think she would care what you call her as long as you worship her. I feel like the Lilith presence is so strong here. I've felt for a long time that that's the principality of our region. I don't know how far south, but I know up until Chicago, they had Mothman sightings. Okay. And I know these, I don't know. It's just a feeling. Sometimes you just get that feeling. But that's my speculation, that this Mothman figure that we see here, that hangs out here, is the manifestation of one of these Lilith spirits. It could be something that works for Lilith that just manifests this way. I don't know. But I believe that as far as needing support, she's got it here. It's just in our region. But if we're talking about cryptids, I wanted to connect Lilith more concretely, maybe, to the most popular cryptid on Earth. Yep. Bigfoot. Okay. All right. Now, I just got a couple pages left to go.
I love it.
This won't take long, Cody.
You're fine. You're fine. Listen, Bo, I'm really enjoying this because I honestly, like, and maybe it's because you're actually talking to me. It's just soaking into my head better than any of these YouTubers have ever been able to give me. All these flashy YouTube channels that get me to click, but man, I don't feel like I learned it. Like, I'm feeling like I'm really learning things. And I think it's because you're walking me through from the beginning to where we're at here. So I just want you to know, man, my ADHD brain, it's catching it and I like it.
Good. Because it all matches up, you know, to scripture. All these dots connect. And a few years ago, I spoke to a woman from Pennsylvania, and I'm not trying to sit here and just plug my show constantly, but
the Bump Podcast, by the way.
Yeah. The Bump Podcast. I had her on the show a total of 3 times, right? She came from Pennsylvania. She lived, want to say maybe Northern Pennsylvania. I'm not 100% sure, but she wanted to come and talk about Bigfoot because she had a Bigfoot on her property, she said. And she had a couple of visual sightings. She had the orbs. There was a gifting spot. And she would send me, I'm talking 50, 60 photos of these areas and, you know, gifts that she would leave food out. And it would be rewrapped in certain ways. And she started talking about all the mind speak, you know, all the telepathic experiences she was having with this thing that she called Harry, right? It's not a very original name, but it's what it was named. But there was a lot more. Like I said, she'd come on there 3 times to talk about what was going on. And she's developed over the year that we talked, she developed a relationship with this creature. And he told her, now this woman was not a theologian, okay? She didn't read, you know, extra biblical text or anything like that. But this creature told her that he was an Eliud and he was seeking redemption. Now, when she told me this, this was like hot off the press from Harry to her to me. She wasn't even sure if she was pronouncing it right. Okay. Like, this woman had no knowledge of what she was telling me. She's like, he called himself an Eliud or something like that. So I look it up. There's very little information from credible sources about what an Eliud is. So I asked Gary Wayne, and he said that he's seen it in a couple of texts. And what the Eliud is, it's a descendant of the fallen, but it would be the offspring of the Nephilim. And it is in some texts. I didn't write it down for whatever reason, but you have the fallen who spawned the Nephilim and any offspring post Nephilim on down was referred to as the Eliud. So they would be like 25%. Heavenly host, 25% angel. All right. So when Harry told her that that's what he was, I thought it kind of made sense. You know, that's cool. It's a cool thing to bring up. I don't know where this lady got this information from, but I talked to a lot of people and I just kind of filed it away as just another theory that's out there, you know, something to consider until last year. Now, I kept in contact with this lady. Her name was Denise. I kept in contact with her with emails. I went back and looked at it because I just released everything that I have on this subject on Leap Day on February 29th. I put out a big 3.5-hour show that just talks about everything I'm talking about right here with this particular part of the subject. She and I exchanged like 75, 80 emails with each other, you know, over the years, stayed in good contact. But again, that's just another theory. Until last year, I talked to this lady. Her name was Megan. I found her on TikTok. She had a story about how she was into witchcraft and she had converted into Christianity. And I thought, man, what an interesting topic. I'm going to bring her on the show to talk about what she experienced, you know, and what led her to Jesus. So she comes on, she's talking about this, you know, this beautiful journey that she's had. And she brought up something, and this was not a Bigfoot episode. To this day, I don't know if she believes in Bigfoot or not. But she said something to me that brought everything Denise was talking about right back to my mind, man. She said that when she was young, and she even had a pendant with a gorilla on it. She said when she was young, she had what she thought was a spirit guide, and she named him Jason. She said he was just so full of knowledge and wisdom and could tell her all these wonderful things. You know, he could help explain situations, you know, what's going on. And she said, the funny thing is, was he was gigantic. She said he like barely fit in my room. I could see him from my outside window walking by the house. She said he looked like this giant gorilla man. And I was like, okay, so that sounds like Harry from Pennsylvania, you know, all this knowledge, all this information, gorilla man spirit, whatever. And for whatever reason, man, it made that make sense to me. I don't know, like I said, I don't know if she believes it or not, but it just made it feel like there's something to this whole LEU thing. And I actually read a book from this guy's name is Ralph Sarchi. I don't know if you know him or not. He had a real short series on Amazon called like The Demon Files or something. He wrote a book called Deliver Us from Evil, talking about his personal experiences as doing exorcisms and stuff. He went into this home, and it's one of the first stories in his book, by going to this home, and there's this creature that manifests this people's house, and it looks like a Bigfoot. So I started thinking and started compiling these episodes together and come up with a theory. Because if Bigfoot, or what we call Bigfoot, is actually one of these LEU creatures, if this guy in Pennsylvania, if Harry dropped the ball and told his secret, you know, they're actually spawn of the Nephilim. I know that the Nephilim Bigfoot theory is nothing new, but this is a little less Nephilim, a little more human. Okay. I think this has legs, man, because again, we know by the book of Enoch that the spirits of the Nephilim are bound here. We also know that according to our Bible, that angelic beings can manifest, right? They can show up in physical form. They can walk. So by that logic, they can leave tracks. They eat. They sat down with Abraham and ate, right? They can touch. You can there was an angel of the Lord wrestled, you know, in our Bible at some point. So there's a physical reality to these things. And we know that they're outside of our space and time. So, for example, in the book of Daniel, Gabriel appears to him, right? And tells him, you know, we heard your prayers, but I was tied up. I was in a battle, right? 400 years later, Gabriel appears to Mary. You're going to give birth to Jesus. Same angel. It's Gabriel both times. So time and space don't matter to them. They can appear. They can disappear. So we know that the spiritual side means that, you know, they have this ability. They have super strength, super speed, whatever they want. Teleportation is all over the New Testament. When Jesus gets in the boat, it says immediately they're on the other side. Philip baptizes the Ethiopian on that road, and it says immediately he finds himself in another city. Well, if you do the math on that, he went like hundreds of miles, if it's correct. So in the spiritual world, in the spiritual side of things, being able to traverse great distances at super speed, like somehow he was at my house when I got home and I drove 100 miles an hour to get to my house. How did he know? It would make sense, right? Bigfoot's more than Bigfoot. it would even explain Melba Ketchum's DNA theory. And I was talking to my buddies, Harrison and Lowell from Silver Pill podcast, and they brought that up. It's like, what if Bigfoot is an Eliud? That would explain the paternal DNA, you know, Ketchum's theory. And that made sense to me. So I wanted to mention that too.
Let me just say, just real quick, just keep going. But I got to take the opportunity because not often does Ketchum come up on the show. I believe she is sorely misunderstood.
Yep.
And her name has been ripped through the mud by people who are of the same scientific community, but will not look at where the facts lead. And I have no skin in the game, and I have no issues with anybody, but I have talked with these people off air, all of them, including Ketchum. I could call her right now. Listen, she talks about things that sound crazy to people on the surface, but it's because she has looked into it and she has put herself out there to a point where she's like, I have no other way to explain this except but. And so I wanted to give it to take a chance just to say, from my side of things, I mean, maybe I've never heard all of Ketchum's theories and stuff, but I've had conversations with her and I think she's more on point than not.
I agree, Tony. But you got to look at the other side here too. With the Eliud, that would mean that they're demonic. Okay. That would mean that there is no redemption. They're trapped here, but they're demonic. They're evil. They're no good. And that would explain, the boundaries of them not being allowed to cross the threshold into your house. Because if they are this big, super strong, supernatural being, there's not many stories, not many reliable stories of them just opening the front door and walking in your house. They can't, because there's that threshold. They're not allowed to dwell in your shelter, right? Unless you come into agreement with them. That's a demonic barrier. You know, that shows you it's a spiritual being. They can bang, they can knock, all this poltergeist activity. You can hear them scream, you can hear them talk in this angelic language. You know what I mean? You could almost say that's almost like speaking in tongues in their reference, you know, in their angelic language. That's why I can't figure it out, but we know it's a language. It's not for us to know. And they respond to the name of Jesus. And I've even had people on my show talk about that. You know, in the name of Jesus, they had to leave. And they do. They seem to disappear, you know, blink out of there. But the wild part, now that I told you everything about that I found out anyway about Lilith and my theory on these Eliud, and, you know, I threw the Mothman thing out there. That's speculation. If it don't stick, whatever. Who cares? I don't have to be right. I just got to throw it out there. But with Lilith, what we know for fact, and with this theory on Bigfoot being Eliud, that would mean genealogically that Bigfoot are the grandchildren of Lilith. Okay? At least there's a 1 in 4 chance that she would be the grandmother on the maternal side or whatever of Lilith. And if she's in charge of hordes of hairy creatures, wouldn't that also explain instances of seeing a woman in white with Sasquatch? And I got that little nugget from your boy, Justin Kaiser at Appalachian Intelligence. He's like, wait a minute. That's the woman in white.
Hang on,
like,
guys. Yes.
Yeah. And that concludes my dissertation. Whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Listen, man, like this is giving me so much to dig into. Just in the last 48 hours, I've been feeling this pressing issue. And I'm not going to drop what it is because I don't know if I'm actually going to follow through on it. And I'm learning that when I say things and people just keep asking. And I'm like, it's coming. Just patience. I know you've been waiting for years. but I've been having this pressing issue to research and study certain things and not to write a book. Maybe it will turn into a book because research often does that. But more so because I feel like I need to research certain things so that I can speak in the Tony way extremely boldly. Because there's times that I, listen, there's a lot of things on this show that I talk about and it's a lot of me thinking out loud. And I think that if I had some of these things that I'm feeling really led to look into, if I had the research to back up the thought, the Tony thinking out loud, I really wonder where that could go. And I just feel like very strong in my heart, you know? And I think what you did with all this stuff has really inspired me to pursue that. And the problem is you're a teacher, man. You know how to research. I'm a retired trucker that dropped out of college, barely graduated high school. I don't freaking know how to start researching. So I might have your number on speed dial. I'm like, how do I start reading books?
I've only been a teacher for like 5 years. Before that, I was digging ditches. You know, I was a coal miner for a couple of years. This is the first non-blue collar job I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yeah. I worked at a state park. I was in the military for a while. And I just went back to school because I got laid off from the coal mines.
Really?
And I was like, yeah. So I was working at a state park, went back to school. I would do that in the evenings and weekends, got my degree. And found my way to this high school gig, man. I love it, but it's not my trade.
What are you teaching there?
It's a program that replaced ROTC. And as far as I know, it's just in the state of West Virginia because there's such a big need for it. It's called the Future Leaders Program. And what we do is we keep a little bit of a military aspect to the program. Like I teach kids how to march. We have a little bit of a uniform kind of thing going every once in a while if they want to play along with that. But it's mainly for life skills. You know, we teach kids how to cope with life, you know, resiliency, teach them how to dress for an interview, how to balance a budget, just things that mom and dad would hopefully be there for. But like, I had a reality check yesterday. Like I said, I've been doing this for 5 years, man. My kids being goofy, but they revealed something to me. One of them asked, they said, raise your hand if you live with mom and dad. Okay. I have 23 kids on my roster. 4 kids raise their hands. That's one class period, bro. So thank God that he's put me in these kids' life, that he put them in my life. You know what I mean? I can't give them enough, but I get them for 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And I get to try to give them what they need. And it's the most rewarding job I've ever had. But yeah, it's not what I'm good at. I'm good with my hands. I'm good at, like I said, digging ditches. But you know, this is where I'm at, and it's God's will. I know it is.
Well, that's awesome, man. Cause, I often talk about how, I talk about amongst my circles, because obviously I don't really talk about this stuff here on the show, but since you brought it up, for the most part, disdain the way the public, well, just the way the education system has evolved over the last 100 years.
Me too.
And one of my biggest gripes is what you just said you're preparing kids for. So I think it's, assuming that it's a public school that you're teaching in, I think it's really cool that that is a thing, because balancing a checkbook, kids aren't taught by their parents because their parents weren't taught by somebody. And right. and it, talk about useless information that these schools are teaching kids. No offense to your institution that you work for, but some of this stuff is absolutely used. I knew in ninth grade, I was never going to use algebra. I was never going to use it. And and I was being force fed it. And when all they would have had to do was like, listen, you're 13 years old. You're listening to Eminem, right? Yeah. You think that that lifestyle is appealing? Yeah. What happens when you start making all that money? Oh man, I'm going to spend this, spend that and stuff. How? If you don't know how to handle it. And all you got to do is approach the kids on that level and just say, today, we're going to learn how to balance budgets so that when you're rich, filthy rich like Eminem, you're not losing it overnight. Like, I would have been all, I'm like, yeah, because I'm a B&M one day, you know, because kids believe in themselves at that age. They're like, yeah, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to be this, that, and the other. Cause they have, they're like, they nobody's like squandered their dreams in life. You know, that's the biggest thing. I think, I really believe that one of the biggest things that keeps people from being successful in life, no matter what their age is that too many people in their around them have squandered their dreams throughout their life, that they forgot how to dream. And then through forgetting how to dream, the motivation for that dream dwindles, and then you give up. And that's the key right there. You give up. If you, the dream is the energy and the motor behind the motivation. And if you lose the dream, you give up. If you just don't give up and keep going, you're going to be, you're going to get that, you know? And these institutions don't foster dreaming. They don't foster what to do once you achieve your dreams. It's just, here, let me see how much I can bore you with useless information. I know I'm going to trigger some people that are listening right now that are teachers and stuff. It's not you. It's just, it's the entire system set up. Like, listen, and maybe my attitude will change as I get older, my kids get older. But as of right now, I honestly, all I require for my kids, and my kids, my son, he's young in school and stuff. He's doing great, all that. It's not that hard in kindergarten, as long as you can cut down the line kind of thing. But like, he's a really smart kid. But at the end of the day, if my kid tries his hardest and he's a C average student or just barely makes it, I don't freaking care, man. Because like, I barely graduated high school. And like, my life took me in a completely different trajectory that anybody that would have taught me in high school said it would have gone. And so it's just, I feel like we just need to embrace these kids' energy to dream about life, harness that, and then use those dreams to teach them practical things so that when they're outside of our care and they're in the real world, they are empowered to dream and they know how to handle those dreams as they bring them in and it becomes materialized, because they've been equipped to not only dream and carry through on the motivation, but also when the things come in return, because you've been persistent through your efforts, you know how to handle it. And all of a sudden, you can then replicate that and teach that to future generations, future people around you, because somebody equipped you. And it's just like, that's why I think, listen, this is totally off Lilith, but I didn't know that. For whatever reason, I was thinking you were an English teacher. I don't know why, but like, I just think it's really, really cool and really, really important what you're doing at that school. And so, awesome.
I get to have fun with them too, man. Like the state, because I work for the state, not the county or anything like that, not the Board of Education. They let us veterans write the curriculum. So I got to write the curriculum for wilderness survival for our program, because one of my biggest passions ever on earth is bushcraft and survival and, you know, anything outdoorsy. So I get to take these kids out behind the school onto the riverbank, into the woods for a few weeks, you know, every year, and teach them how to, you know, create fire, how to build shelter, you know, how to procure water, how to trap food. And, you know, it's just like, where was that when I was in school? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's just on, man. I'll talk about my job for another hour.
But. We'll have to bring you on for some wood shop talk.
Yes.
I'll tell you, man, like, I love what you're doing in your profession. I love what you're doing with your podcasts. It seems, and I think you probably would agree that it, from the time you started to now, it took a totally different turn.
Yes.
And I think that's it's inspiring for anybody, really, wherever they're at in life. Just because you set out on one trajectory doesn't mean you have to be on that forever, especially if you feel like the trajectory you're on and what you're doing is not it and you need to change course. Don't be afraid to change course.
That's it.
And you've done that with the podcast and your profession. So I think that's really cool. Bo from the Bump Podcast, man, tell people where they can find you.
Absolutely. I'm on every podcast platform out there. I'm on YouTube. I'm probably a few weeks behind on releasing episodes on there. TikTok, social media stuff, Instagram, all the places. If you have an experience you want to share, you can holler at me at the Bump Podcast at Gmail. The show did take a little bit of a turn. I started off episode one. I said I was a Christian, but like I told you off air, you know, after about a year and a half, I talked to somebody that really helped me put things in perspective. And so I've dedicated my show to the Lord. We still talk about the weird stuff, but I can't deny when dots connect, you know, and there's a common theme, and that common theme is good against evil. It's just kind of, everything's kind of bottlenecked into what this is now, you know, And it's more of a spiritual journey than I ever imagined. But I'm so thankful that, you know, I get to expose the darkness. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. Yeah. I mean, if anybody wants to deny the spiritual implications of everything that's going on within the paranormal cryptid world and stuff, you're literally living 10 years ago and also with blinders on. Because that's even it. The people who look into this that aren't, you know, like us, and they're coming to the same realization. There is a spiritual element to this stuff, the alien stuff. There's a spiritual element to this, and they can't get away from it. Government officials are saying, stop talking about it. I'm not going to talk about it. Yes, it's spiritual, but that's all you're getting out of me. It's very deeply spiritual. And so, with that said, man, I really appreciate you coming on. And this was a really interesting conversation. I feel like you gave me a lot to chew on, and I appreciate that.
Well, thanks, Lord, man. I appreciate it. Thanks again for having me on. Been a long time coming, I think, man. We've been circling each other for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
It's good to finally get in contact, man.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be in touch for sure.
All right, brother.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy, please share the show wherever you go. I don't care how you share the show. Just share the show. If you don't like somebody, that's the best way to tick them off. Take the link to this episode, send it to them. They're not going to understand why you're even talking to them. They'll hit play because they just want more ammo to be mad at you. And then they'll fall in love with the show, and then they'll fall in love with you. And I just basically bring friends back together through this show. It's fantastic. So if you enjoyed it, please share the show. And until next Tuesday, stay safe, take care, and remember, the truth will set you free, but first it'll piss you off. Bye.
Thought my old motto was a VA. I was working four cylinders to death. Put it on me, no teammate. Dreams running on fumes, no rest. You could bargain for my soul for a mansion and a couple billboards, no less. Yeah, thank God for a couple roadblocks. I don't know if I'd have stopped where the road ends. Spent years looking for the real me, always came up missing. Yeah. Try to find it at the bottom of the bottle, and I promise ain't sipping. Yeah. Drowning in my vices, I thought I was flying. Yeah. Using darkness for my lighting, missing with the timing. On the sidelines, trying to be the highlight, but under the bright lights, breaking all the guidelines. Yeah, Mr. Bold with no lifelines. Yeah. screaming, I don't need you, fighting, but I'm free too, neon lights make a path for my breath like smoke in the cold every weekend. Spend years looking for the real me, always came up missing, yeah. Try to find it at the bottom of the bottle and I promise ain't sipping, yeah. Drowning in my vices, I thought I was flying, yeah. Using darkness for my lighting, missing with the timing. Spend years looking for the real me, always came up missing.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9, selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind. And it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard-of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here. There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.